Lindsay, plus the 1.5 cents we got under the regular one. The other is a new car sale. So anywhere in the state that a Lindsay resident purchases a car, they'll pay this Measure O tax, and that comes back. I have not seen the breakdown yet of those. I need to ask those from a consultant, provide them as a favor, because we're not paying for that service anymore. But it's something that I can get from them, and that's something that I can talk in aggregate with the council, but I can't give specifics because it's confidential information.
Thank you.
So, we also have two major one-time things, well, one major one-time and one hopefully ongoing growing revenue come in. We've got $212,000 that is the expected net to the city on the sale of the Sierra Vista Plaza, which I believe is scheduled September, October-ish to close. And so with that, that would bring that in. And then the new cannabis retail at $125,000. You add those two together, and that's essentially the cushion we have, being a net $335,000 this year. And so that's we're hoping to have at least $200,000 to put towards reserves and just start building those. And then the rest is going to go to contingency throughout the year. Any questions on that one? Okay. Next one is a water fund. The water fund is one, as we'll see when we get to the CIP, is of concern. We're able to meet the needs within the year, but as we look forward to our capital improvement, which is CIP, capital improvement program, which would be all the major development within that system, a new infrastructure or equipment, we are far behind in being able to care for that. Next one is sewer. It faces the same circumstance as water does. But we do have what looks like right now a $50,000 positive at the end of that year. And some of the money we had left over from last year has gone to capital improvement projects for this year. Refuse. It's a wonderful bouquet. It's nice that they brought that. I don't know if we're on their good list right now, but we are... still in discussions with Mid-Valley. They are hoping for increases in rates. The contract doesn't require those increases, but it's something that we're talking about, and the city, as you can see, is not able to recapture enough of our own costs on it as they stand now. Next is a wellness and aquatic center, and this is one that has me concerned. The general fund is transferring, is going to need to transfer this year in projected 19, $81,000 more than what we'd expected in this year. And so that is a concern. And the hospital board is discussing reducing all of the extra funding that they send our way. And it's that's a risk of between $80,000 to $100,000 a year. There's some... just differing of opinion as to what should happen there. And I believe they're looking to have a meeting with council later this month to discuss the memorandum of understanding between the groups and hopefully come to some conclusion that can help with that. If we lose the funding, it's going to jeopardize the future operations of the Wellness Center.
I have a question on the hospital fund.
Mm-hmm.
We get that funding because of the Wellness Center, right? I mean, or they get that funding because of the Wellness Center, or is that not correct?
So there's they exist after the hospital way for the purpose of providing health and wellness in the community. There is a memorandum of understanding that requires them to pay $223,000 or $233,000 a year to the city to help with debt service and other things there. They have made a practice of providing discretionary funding on top of that to help fix the heaters and those kinds of things. It's that part that, because the MOU doesn't require it, they don't want to provide it anymore. And
The
impetus for the discussions, there are some on their board that want that to end and others that don't want to.
Others so. That would like to give the Wellness Center more money.
Correct.
But if that money doesn't go to the Wellness Center, where else would it go?
That's a good question to ask them when we have our joint meeting.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. I will.
I have my opinions, but we're going to just stick to facts tonight.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So at Next McDermott Fieldhouse, we've had that shut down from the city side since the 1st of January 2018. There were some lingering costs that rolled into the fiscal year 18-19 year. And then this year there is nothing going in that direction. We do pay the debt service for the facility out of the general fund. And as landlords, if there is structural issues with the building, we take care of those. Committed and restricted funds. These are primarily under the committed funds. It's the street improvement fund. That's a 23.6% tax that the Lindsay residents agreed to put on the utility bills. And it's also the issue we came a couple months ago on, so we had a miscalculation that it was being over contributed to the street improvement, and we fixed those calculations, sent money back over to water, sewer, and refuse, and now that those are set properly, those utilities will continue to receive the money as they should. This money as it comes in is redirected to street improvement projects and to cover the streets department costs in the general fund. And so we get to the transfer schedule later. You'll see two numbers there coming out of SIP. The street improvement fund is so long, we just SIP for street improvement program is transferred out to the general fund and out to the CIP for the capital improvement projects. Park improvements fund as well. We have money going towards that. And then the restricted are the gas tax that come from the state and Measure R, LTF, SB1, all of those are wrapped into those numbers. And those, as they come in, are then funneled over to the street improvement or to the capital improvements for street projects. And these numbers we're looking at is the net of the revenue minus the expenditures or expenses, depending on the type of fund we're looking at. I want 30 slides instead of 90, so we're giving you the net numbers. The special revenue funds, these are VitaPact. We have a land, essentially land management agreement that the city's in the middle of. And being that third party, we help basically take the funds from one party to the other one. And so those aren't city funds. We don't have them for our discretionary use. We just manage those for them, essentially, or facilitate it. Then the others are the housing ones. And I've added a note over here. We're going to begin the public hearing process next meeting as well. I'm going to refine these before then. They are not set yet. And so these numbers are going to get close to zero as we're identifying how they need to be used in those areas. And that side of the process, once they're established, then we have to get them into the county by the middle of July, I believe, Mike, right? Middle of August, so they can be in place for the property tax roll. And so the homes are charged appropriately. And that's always an exciting night here at the council meeting. So, but for right now, these are very rough numbers that will be revised by the next council meeting to give you final ones. And then debt service. This is the debt the city pays out for the city side. I've excluded the items that come through the ROPS for the redevelopment because those are handled by the ROPS, but this is looking at just items that come under the city's discretion or our departments. GF is general fund. RAS is restricted funds. And so we have a new fire engine. You see the blue there at the bottom. And then the orange is the TCAG repayment to them. We have the McDermott debt. There's only, I think, 7 years left in McDermott debt, and then that's all done. We have the library. That's still many years, and the Wellness Center is still a number of years there. Tulare Road, that's the one that they gave us the one-year reprieve on, and we're picking those payments back up again. Water for the plant, we had the water clarifier that we just made the final payment on that one. We retired that debt on the 1st of June of 2019, so last week, and the sewer projects. And the dot at the top is the cumulative number of all of those. So we're right over $1 million a year that we're paying in debt service out of the roughly $15 million total city budget. CalPERS unfunded liability. I'm showing this one so everyone can go home and have nightmares tonight. This year in 1920 is actually a little bit of a reprieve. They do 3 years in advance where they set how much it's going to be based on their actuarial studies. And they identified in fiscal year 1920 it was going to be a drop, but then it steadily goes right back up to where it's going to be in the future. And as our employee count has changed over the last 2 years, it's going to play into this as they go through the actuarials. This obviously is on everyone's mind. Is I say our general fund is just over $5 million. CalPERS is not all general fund, but it gives you an idea of how big this is, being $800,000 out of that. So, capital improvements. So many of these you've seen before, particular street ones. I think you've approved twice or thrice already, but we're showing them again one more time because they'd be in the budget. I want to start off with the SCBA, which is not scuba because it's not underwater, but these are the tanks that the public safety officers wear in situations where there's fire. Whether the equipment is still sound or not, once they reach their expiration date, the facilities that fill them will no longer put oxygen in the tanks for them. And so we need to refit all of those units, $110,000 this year for that. HVAC, we've got about $100,000 worth to do around the city. We're going to break it up in 2 years with $20,000 coming this year, primarily for the unit here in City Hall. If any of you have a chance to see Neva the next week or two, please thank her for having it cool in here. The cooler was not working yesterday. And so they spent all day yesterday with one of the few in the region that can fix our system to get it up and running. I had it working about 5:30 last night, and we've had it running since to make sure it's cool for the night. Oh. We're moving down the hall in the ComDev conference
room. How old is this guy?
About 50 years old.
Oh, okay. We've got a few more years.
Okay, on the scuba equipment, I'm kind of confused about that. What exactly is that used for, and how many times do they use it?
So it's the air mask system. Mm-hmm. So if they have to enter a facility for, if there's a person or something like that in there, they need that apparatus to go in with them.
Mm-hmm.
And our apparatuses have hit their expiration point where we can no longer fill them with oxygen. And so they're now useless to it. You purchase the new ones because the tanks will fit the new designs. And
how many?
I think there's one per, I want to see about 15, 20, something like that. And so you've got them for all of those that could be responding to the fires.
Self-contained breathing apparatus.
15? We need 15.
One for each person.
How many police officers do we have?
I believe there are 17 that can respond. And then if we have the code enforcement respond as well, then she would have one. And then if you're taking those in to help those that are breathing in the structures, they bring them out.
How many times have they been used?
I don't know. We'd have to ask the police chief.
Yeah, because I don't know. That's something I think I would like to discuss further. It just seems like a lot of suits. I know that they're necessary when we do have fire. However, we may have 17 police officers, but there's only how many on duty at any given day?
Well, if the fire is severe enough, then they all respond and they carry them in their different vehicles. And so they would have them with them as they arrive.
So how many police officers is there on duty on any given day?
Well, it's not just that are on duty. If you have others coming in, they will need to have the units in their vehicle so that they can respond with them instead of needing to come to the city first to gear up and then go back out to where the fire is.
Okay, but how many police officers are on duty on any given day?
Throughout the day, you have 12 to 17 that are on duty throughout the day. Yeah, you've got shifts throughout the day, and they're rotating their shifts throughout the day.
Okay, how many on each shift?
It depends on what's going on at that time.
If I may, I'm going to reach out to the chief. My suspicion is that these are custom fitted, and so one that works on me may not work on you, but I'm going to confirm that. Maybe you can continue with this, and we'll make a note of that, and I'll respond hopefully before the end.
Yeah, because it seems like a lot of suits for the amount of people that we have that would actually use it.
But if they're fitted to the individual, right? Then you'd have it. Then somebody would lose their life potentially because you need somebody to be able to rush in there and deal with it. But we'll find that out.
Yeah.
The key point is whether the state requires these things.
No. And it's
a state requirement, but not with the amount. with the amount?
The first number I got from them was over 200,000, so I'm pretty jazzed about 110. So carport renovations, that's a safety issue outside here, so that doesn't fall down on someone. The corporation yard improvements, different items out there, particularly having some type of heat or cooling system for the guys when they're out there in the heat. And for a total cost this year, $190,000, we've pushed off what we can to next year. But you'll see the resources we have allocated about $200,000 a year to improvements. We eclipse that need over the next 3 years. Year four, because we don't know more about what's going on there, year five, we're able to meet those. But there's real concern there about keeping up with the needs we have for improvement on our equipment. So then the streets. Again, this is a list that you have seen a number of times. The only difference is that we've spread some of the alley reconstruction costs. It used to be $200,000 in fiscal year 2020. Now it's $125,000 with the remaining $75,000 pushed to 2021 so we get those numbers to balance for the year. As we looked a little closer, it was coming in through the revenues, particularly through the street improvement fund. As we fix that calculation, it's reduced the amount going to SIP because it's going properly now to the water, sewer, and refuse. So we make those adjustments. And then we've increased the seal projects in 2021 up to have that break even for the year. But you can keep in the back of your mind, next year when it comes around, we've got $75,000 from that we could pull off for another project that we should not identify in this one. And then years 3 through 5, just a standard looking at about $1,140,000 to $1,150,000 a year for additional projects.
So over the next 6 years, we have about $6 million going into street improvements and things like that.
Yep. And this does not count the near $2 million that we're rolling over from this year into projects that aren't starting before the end of June, but are the ones that are going out to bid. So that's in addition to the list you have here. There's going to be a lot of construction signs up next little while. So in talking about sources, this goes back to the restricted funds primarily, but shows you the details here again and the total costs and how we netted those out over the future years. And getting to the water improvements, we have a landscape irrigation well. That's something that Mike is exploring. We dug the test wells. We found that the water wasn't appropriate for drinking water. But being there at the city park, we may be able to convert that to water the park instead of pulling domestic water to water the soccer fields in city park. So we're hoping that we're going to get that to happen. That'll be a project that's not this coming fiscal year, but the one after. And then I believe you've seen most of these projects in the past as well. Any questions on those as you look up there?
So the test well that we did at the complex, that we may be able to use that for irrigation in the future. We didn't have to cap it off.
Maybe. We may have to.
That's the hope. That's why it's out there. We've got to study a little more.
I thought at one time we had a conversation where if it proved that we couldn't use it, we're going to have to cap it off, and it would be useless.
So Mike doesn't stop thinking even in his sleep. And so
well, that would be great.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, we're not using the test well for pumping water, are we? We would still have to have a conventional. That test well will be capped off.
Right. If the test well is bit abandoned, since the results were not domestic quality results, we're surrounded by about 25 acres of open turf area. It's a perfect location to take domestic water out of that supply and plug in, for lack of a better term, what would be called irrigation water.
Right.
The construction standards are significantly different.
Right. So we would just apply for a grant to drill another well.
That's, yes.
Okay, cool. All right.
Which effectively increases our water, our drinking water capacity, because we're not having to water the dirt with it.
Exactly.
And it probably has nitrates in it, which the grass would love anyway.
It has.
Right?
Nitrates for chlorine, TCP.
Cut back on fertilizer.
So, well, I mentioned earlier the water fund can handle its year-to-year operations. The CIP is not sustainable, and so we have just under $5 million worth of projects that we cannot fund over the next 4 years that are pressing projects to do. So that is something that's going to be an ongoing conversation with council, because there's simply not the resources right now to do that. As we've talked twice now with the market about getting loans to help those projects, they've told us no, because they go on concern the negative fund balance in the general fund. We are continuing to work on that project and hope to have some type of resolution, at least a plan, though that plan will not wipe out the debt that we have completely. We're looking at being able to erase at least half of it, the other half we have to deal with, and that may show enough improvement that the market will be willing to talk because they see the trajectory we're on. But as of right now, the open market is not something we have access to help cover the costs of these.
So what are those projects?
So we have projects like the, let me go back up to it, water main line replacement. That should be about $200,000 a year. And that's something that we have not been doing the last couple of years because there's not the funding for it. Renovation at Well 14. Other big ones are water storage tank renovation at $350,000. You take those different improvements and add them up. It's $1.63 million in fiscal year 2021, and we only have $650,000 in resources identified for those projects. And so that 1 year is $1 million. You'd have to pick and choose which of those items would fall into that million and which would fall into the 650 that you would want to fund. But any of those that aren't funded just roll to the next year, and that outstanding $1 million balance just continues to grow to when we get out to the Well 11 biological treatment that right now stands just under $3 million is an estimate. That's out in year five because that's still not, we haven't been able to crack yet. Is there funding source we could find for, is there grant money we could find for it? Will technology have a significant enough change to have that cost come down between now and then? But that is, as far as I understand it, Mike, our best performing well by far in the city. It would be wonderful to be able to turn that on as a domestic source, but we have to deal with the treatment for it.
That's the perchlorate well.
Yes. All right, then getting into sewer. Same situation with sewer where it's not sustainable in the long run. We have $1.355 million over the next 2 years that there's not funding for, and those include oxidation ditch repairs, two of those, building renovations at the water waste treatment plant, equipment replacement at the water treatment plant. And again, you would have to decide which of those $650,000 or $750,000 projects would be pushed out. For those, but we are looking at building up eventually to about $250,000 a year in sewer mainline replacement so we can keep the infrastructure turnover so we don't have major catastrophe breaks in those systems. And Mike's able to map out the high priority locations in town and address those first. So then with staffing, I'm looking first at new positions. So the city manager's office that includes city clerk, part of the cleaning crew at the city manager, there's no new positions there. Finance department, it's one new body, but really just half an FTE. I've left it as a full one in here. A conversion of a part-time accountant that we have that would stop that, and we would hire a finance and accounting manager. It would be full-time, it would help with the accounting side and kind of take on that load. That is something that went on the website today as a posting for it and would close the middle of July. And those are already built into the general fund budget for this year. City services would have a new engineering technician to help with items over there. Public safety would have a half FTE because it would start January of 2020, halfway through the year, a new fire engineer. Right now we have just one that's covering that, and so if there's fires when that one is out of town, we're stuck back with some of the things we've faced lately. We don't have someone that's qualified to direct the activities and to manage the new truck while it's out there, which is now back in town, which means we won't have any fires because we only have them when the truck's gone. So I think we're good for a while. And then at the recreation, as I mentioned earlier, we were short about $81,000 at the Wellness Center, some from repairs, some from an underestimation of lifeguard costs and the rest. And so we're adding enough in this time to cover that going forward, so that when we set this is the transfer target from the general fund to wellness, we're not surprised at the end of the year that we have to increase that transfer for a total of 4.5 FTE. And an FTE is a 40-hour work week. And so if you work part-time, 20 hours a week, you're half FTE.
Okay. So how are these positions being advertised?
So the new engineering one has not been advertised yet. Mm-hmm. The lifeguards and the other part-time help, the lifeguards are already kind of built in to the process. Those have been on the website, and they have recurring ones that have gone through the hiring process, have those up and running. The part-time help is later in the year, and so that will go through the local recruiting processes, the online ones you talked about last councilman are good ones there. The engineer, I don't know which publications are best for those. Mike would know that, but we'll have it in the trade magazines, or at least in the trade websites. Many of them you can do for free. There's a number of city ones that are like admin management that runs the whole gamut from parks and rec to finance to administration to whatever, and those are free. And you have people actually looking at those sources, so we'll be looking at that one, and we can get in touch with the workforce and board as well and have them help. Right. And then with the finance one, that will be on the website. It will be sent out to contacts we have at the different accounting firms, directly to those we have contacts from the state, and through the groups that are in that area that would have employees that are looking for that. So it should be well advertised. So FTE by department then, we have a city manager. He's 2.2 FTE in that department. City manager, the clerk, or deputy clerk, and then part of the cleaning that goes on in the city. Finance, with this change, we'll have 4.5.
Okay, what does FTE mean?
So FTE is a full-time equivalent. It's a 40-hour work week. And so if you have two part-time employees that are both in 20 hours a week, you combine them into one FTE. If you look at them separately, they'd be a half FTE. So it gives you a way to kind of see the worker hours that are supplied per week to that department or need. So finance has just over 5.5. And part of this, too, is that we split ourselves out to other departments in the allocation. So in the budget document, you'll see this in their native department. This is where they go and have their desk. But then you'll also see next to it, this is how they're allocated out. So my time is spread throughout all the departments because I'm hitting in budget and other things that are going on. City services is 14.7. Public safety, 19.5. You have the blue is the sworn officers. The black one there is the code enforcement, office staff for records, and HR. And then the fire engineers with a new half. The one, again, starting in January. And then recreation, a total of 5 FTEs. So you think that you've got 5 full-time equivalents that run the Wellness Center. Next time you see Lisa, give her a pat on the back. Because that is amazing what she's doing out there.
Well, how come the Wellness Center isn't making any money then?
Recreation typically consumes about 5% of a general fund or city's budget goes to recreation. And if we have a $5 million general fund, 5% of that is going to be about $250,000. And she gets a transfer from us of about $100,000, $140,000 a year. And so she's outperforming what a typical recreation department is doing. So.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me anyway.
Well, part of the idea with the Wellness Center was that it would help us with the recreation budget, because it is our recreation program to a large extent, so it supplements the city's recreation budget. Sometimes we call it wellness, sometimes we call it recreation.
Yeah, but it's
most times it comes out of the general fund.
They will likely never be self-sufficient.
Yeah. Swimming pools can't be.
A pool is a sponge for money. If you were asking me if we wanted to build a pool tomorrow if it didn't exist, I would strongly try to talk you out of it. It's a wonderful amenity for your community, but the motor is broken right now. The pump is broken. The valves are out. Do we have an approximate price, a ballpark price on that stuff, Mike?
No.
It's many thousands of dollars for something. It just failed. The heater goes out. It fails. The chemicals, they're tremendously expensive to operate, but we have one of the nicest in the county. Wellness Center itself isn't so bad. We're generating some rent revenues, but as the mayor was alluding to, we lump wellness, recreation, aquatic, it all gets lumped together. She's managing every bit of that with just a handful of people. She's doing a good job, but yeah, recreation will never be a money maker.
I mean, my point was most cities pay for all that out of their general fund, and it's always a loss.
Yeah.
We actually have a means to supplement ours a little bit,
right.
You know, actually to a pretty good extent,
yeah.
At the Wellness Center.
So help with the hospital.
With help from the hospital. Keep some help from them.
That's another conversation.
I know, because you would think that the hospital board would use most of its money for the Wellness Center.
That would.
Because
right.
There is nothing else in Lindsay.
Yeah,
that they could use it for.
Exactly. And now that the clinic is there, does that help at all?
It does. Yeah, the clinic is going to bring in, what's the number? It's just under $8,000 a month. And so about $90,000 a year is going to come in from the clinic. It absolutely is. But yes, swimming pools are.
But I don't understand how can we do that because where is that money going to go to? Where are they going to allocate that money for that?
Yeah.
We'll be asked.
Oh, yes.
We'll be asked.
I already wrote
down the first one.
Yeah. Good. I'd like for you two to
take that down
on that. Find out where they're spending
and
the
then
money.
We take the lead on that?
Yes.
I think all of you should take the lead on it. All right. So then, you will see in the actual budget document, there's two parts to it. The budget document has the part that tells the city story, the information about the different departments, all of that, and then it has all the tables and charts. This is a table, but you'll find it in the written part under staffing in the budget document itself. And so what this does is it gives you an overview of where we are. We have two different tiers for miscellaneous employees. So miscellaneous is anyone who's not a sworn officer. So even code enforcement and HR and records, they work over there, but they're not part of public safety. They're a miscellaneous employee unit. And so we have from the recreation lifeguard all the way up to the finance and accounting manager here. Step one is initial one, and then there's 5% increases per step up to step seven. And for tier one, those are employees that were hired prior to or worked for the city prior to July 1st, 2018. That's part of the different change we made in the last memorandum of understanding that we executed last year with the SEIU and the employee union there. And so I've identified in where that engineering technician would fall and where the finance and accounting one would. If you were to look at a present day salary matrix, you would not see this assistant to the city manager / deputy city clerk because that role has traditionally been under an administrative supervisor, but we're going to break it out. It's the same pay scale you'll see there. You'll see that it's not there before, but we're making it separate now.
$51,000?
For what?
For administrative supervisor?
Yes, so that's going to be ones like Marshall, Mari Carrillo, and Jack would be in that range. So.
That's a lot.
So then tier two are those who are hired on or after July 1st, 2018. They have the same starting step. And they go up to the same step seven, but there's a 3.5% increase in between each step. And so same grouping, but that's how those fit together. And we only have a handful of those so far. All right, and public safety, they're there for, they have seven steps as well. They have 5% increases. They don't have a tier one or tier two. And then the executives, they're set by contract, though we state ranges that those contracts could fall within in the budget. Council has their discretion to change those or go outside of them. You'll see that this one used to be for city manager at around, I think it was 89 or 90,000 for the start. up to like 123, and that is roughly 30% below the average for similar size cities in the valley. And so the range now is being reset to fall within up to that same average.
How can we afford these salaries?
Well, this,
you know that
the salary hasn't changed. The salary right now
for an attorney, I think the starting rate is 51 for the county attorney is 51,000.
I don't know if I would take that attorney's advice.
Well, we
if you're finding one that's paid at that level, I'd be pretty concerned about
county,
what you're getting.
The county of Tulare.
Yeah, there's some issues there at the county for sure.
You know what? They're pretty good.
The update doesn't change the actual pay because it's set by contract.
That's crazy.
All right.
Keep going.
Comp and benefits. We have the health. There were no changes there. We have in the budget an estimated increase of 20%. This last year it came in around 13. They told us originally it might be closer to 25. This one again started at 24. The most current number I have is 20. Hopefully that declines as we move forward. That's as we continue in the JPA. And the JPA, we've met our two-year requirement to be part of the JPA, so we could leave this year. But the increase to go back up to the market outside of the JPA is closer to a 50% or more increase. And so as of right now, we're not even entertaining that idea. We authorized the agreement to switch to Empower for our 457B plan. Got the phone call from them today. We have all the documents in. They'll come and do some training with our staff first to make sure that payroll is ready for that process before we actually initiate it. And we've dealt with all of the different trouble accounts at Lincoln before we make that change. And no changes to that benefit. The matches are still as they were before. The next thing we have with the new MOU for public safety, we've been engaging the different units lately on doing swaps where they will accept an increase in base salary, but as a result, they will then contribute a percentage of those PERS costs. And so there's a 5% per 5 percentage point increase in employee paid CalPERS costs there with the public safety bargain unit. On compensation, proposing a 2% salary increase, which is a maximum allowed under the MOU for miscellaneous, and a 5% increase under the MOU that was part of the agreement for that to be signed for public safety. And then we have the minimum wage will increase on January 1st of 2020 to $13 this year. And then it will go to 14, then it goes to 15, and I don't recall if there's a CPI tied to that or not going forward.
I think it's just up to 15.
Okay. I would suspect when it gets to 15, there'll then be a CPI added to that.
Yeah.
All right. Then we get down to transfers. And so the key there on the left, GF's General Fund, WC Wellness Center, SIP Street Improvement Fund, and CIP Capital Improvement. And so from the General Fund, we have money that goes to Wellness, $180,000 essentially over there. And then to CIP, there's $190,000 that goes to CIP. And that's what's covering that SCBA equipment and the other things that we identified. We were able to pull together some funds this year and purchase now some of the equipment that we're going to have to do next year. The backhoe, I think, is here. We have a tractor now. There's anything else that's come in, Mike?
The dump trailer
as well. So we've got those coming in and have found sources that are appropriate sources for those purchases. The SIP, then you have the complete cost of the streets department is covered by the SIP, which helps take that burden off the general fund. So we're at almost $300,000 for streets that comes from there, and the other $560,000 goes over to the CIP for street projects. And then these are the other restricted funds. there, plus refuse. That's a requirement. $50,000 a year from refuse is to go to cover alleys. That's part of the rate set up for that one, for a total of $2.2 million in total transfers this next year. Any questions on the transfers? We're almost done, guys.
Minimal next time. I don't think we should be transferring too much more into the wellness center, especially if we get the hospital board on in the right path.
I have tried. I hope that you are more successful than I am. So then the other item that we have that will be part of the budget. So it is
true. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, if you've got questions.
go ahead.
Our next meeting is going to have three parts to this. One is adoption of the budget. The second is a GAN limit, appropriations limit. And the third one is a five-year capital improvement project. We approve all of those on the same day. And the GAN limit basically wants to ensure that you're not taxing too much and that you're essentially not taxing too much. And as you go through the calculations that are driven by data from the state, we are well within our appropriations limits, so we are not taxing too much here.
So we could still pull from this budget, right?
Still pull from it is in, like, add to it?
No,
or
take away from it.
Yeah, you can have a discussion tonight if you're seeing things in here that you want differently. This, it's not an action to talk about tonight, but your budget committee can come back and give me direction to make changes, because it'll go through the ad hoc until we're finally there at the public hearing.
So we have an executive session, am I correct?
No.
Today?
We have an executive session today, but this item, budget is not part of that discussion, and so we won't be able to. But ad hoc, if they want to come back and give feedback, they can. So, and then for summary, successes last year that we've made meaningful progress towards general fund deficit. I know it's still there, but we are making good steps towards it. I believe that we have enough background information now to go to the oversight board to have the $2.6 million advance between the RDA and the city removed from the books. That was something that was directed by prior auditors that, as we've done the research, don't believe it was appropriate, and so we're getting that argument together to take to them. If we do, that cuts the deficit in half, and so where we started over $11 million a year and a half ago, we'll be down to just under $3 million, and I'm hoping that movement is going to show the market and others that they can take notice and help us with these CIP programs.
You know, the 11 that you mentioned, now that we know we've had time to whittle through all this, how much of it, of that 11, do you think was miscategorized? I mean, the 2 point something to the RDA, for example.
Only that 2 point.
Only that. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. All of the others was money that was through that due to, due from, that became advances that was in vacated or forgiven.
Very good.
And so that's, yeah, those were all where we're supposed to be. So we have millions of dollars in street projects coming up, which is definitely going to be a fantastic thing to see around town. We're satisfying all our debt service. We're maintaining our service load, and we're adding some key positions to help ensure that we'll do that in the long term. And then the concerns, again, really the big one is what happens at the Wellness Center if the hospital board decides to pull their support there. Concerns about the insufficient funds moving forward to replace equipment that we need to replace. Water and sewer projects cannot fund their own CIP. And the CalPERS continues to pose a significant threat in the future. And that is the end of that.
On a legislative level, is there any talk, like through the League of California Cities, about the threat the CalPERS adjustments are making to the cities?
It's a pretty common thread through CalPERS. All the cities are concerned about it. The bet is who goes under first. It would need to be a big city to go under for the state to want to sit up and take notice of it. It's an ongoing problem we're all dealing with.
I'm just hoping that there's a lot of conversation
with the
League of Cities.
Yeah, there is a lot of cities in worse shape than we are.
Yeah, there's the city of Washington. They came in and bailed their cities out, so it's a little different system. They changed it quite a bit up there. Part of the challenge that you face is that from the different political parties, the Republican Party doesn't like purse, so if it fails, awesome. The Democrat Party doesn't want any cuts to the benefits, so don't address it. So neither party has an incentive to fix it. And so as Bill said, it's going to take something like an LA or somebody saying, hey, we simply can't do this anymore, to spark some type of change there.
Very good.
So, thank you. All right. Any questions?
Regarding the money that goes to, that we get from the farmers market, where uh-huh. Is that money specifically going to go back to the streets there and that little park that we have there? Or?
So the money from the farmers market is a general fund revenue. And as it comes in, you can consider it going to the streets department or to improvements for those, or through the parks department there to help care for that. But it's not an enterprise fund on its own, and so it doesn't have directly allocated revenues and expenses that are tied to that specific line because it's a general fund item. The question earlier about Measure O, it's the same thing. Being a general fund revenue, you don't keep a separate balance sheet that here's Measure O and here's the things that are tied to it. As we see on that slide, what that $1 million impact does is it allows us to maintain this reduced staffing level and keep our public safety at the levels they are instead of reducing those and moving over to a county-run public safety department.
Well, the reason why Measure O passed was because it was being marketed as keeping our police officers.
Right.
So I'm assuming that most of that money is going to go back to them.
So, yes, that's the purpose of that money coming in. To go back to, because it's a general fund revenue,
yeah,
we can't isolate it to a particular area. The management direction, the council direction, the philosophy of how the budgets go together is to use that Measure O funds to ensure our public safety continues. Some of it has to be spread throughout the rest of the general fund or becomes a special tax, and that required a different type of tax measure. We still hit a high enough percentage for it to pass, but because it wasn't established that way, if the city starts to track it separately and treat it as one, then you run the risk of it being invalidated. And so some of it has to follow that process of staying mixed in the general fund to ensure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but the community does deserve to know, because I've been questioning a lot about it. What are they doing with the Measure O? So I think it's in the best interest for the city to ensure that the community knows what we're doing with that money.
Okay, so we can break something out if council wants that shows this is what, and the public safety department is, I don't have it on here, it's in your budget, it's just over $3 million in 2020, and it's grown from about the 2.2, 2.3 about 3 years ago, and so you've retained officers, and that department is getting the funding and equipment they need now. And so, general, it's only happened because Measure O was here. We had, I think it was 5 officers scheduled to be released from the city had Measure O not passed. And that would have dropped us to a level where we could no longer do investigations. And you'd be down to you'd have one leadership role and one support role on each shift.
So just showing that the department is growing. That's good.
And it should continue to grow.
And that's what we're doing with the addition of the half FTE for the fire engineer. The goal there with the chief is eventually to have 3 of them, but we're working at just doing 2 first. And so they would have either rotating 24-hour shifts or rotating 8-hour shifts. And so there's always someone here. But we've had 2 fires recently where the one engineer had scheduled vacation, was gone at the time, and our truck was gone, and so you're really in a bind when you don't have those additional support roles there. And so that's what this budget is doing, is ensuring that we have
the city was prepared, right? You told all the outlying fire departments.
So they certainly have a protocol of how to handle it, and we have agreements where we support each other. They've been gracious enough not to get on our case for not returning the favor. They've always come to us. We've never had the resources to go to them. And so we're not really living up to our side of that reciprocation. But as we build the department and continue to get that general fund back in a positive place, we'll be able to do that more.
Thank you, Brad. I just want to say, I mean, this is a beautiful budget, even better than last year's, which was the best I've seen in 16 years.
So. We're trying.
Good job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We just have one item left. If there's any requests for future agenda items.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to interject. I didn't do it during my staff, but you've been kicking it around a little bit. The hospital board has reached out wanting to do a joint meeting with the city to talk about their role with the wellness center. The date that they are requesting is Thursday, the 20th at 6 p.m. I believe it's going to happen at the wellness center. They had proposed their little meeting room. I don't think it's adequate, and I would hope that we get some public that come out that want to observe and participate in this process. And so I want to ask council if that works for you.
What day is that?
It's a Thursday, the 20th.
I think there's
next
a couple
Thursday.
Community events on that. Might potentially. Is that when the Rotary meeting is, or is that this Thursday?
Mm.
And then there's also
Thursday.
A How dinner on the 20th.
The Rotary is this Thursday.
It's this Thursday. Okay. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And their commission is on Saturday. In fact, I know you have a couple new members there. I plan to attend that. But Thursday the 20th at 6 p.m. Wellness Center joint meeting.
It's okay with me.
Okay. And folks, I do know that there are at least a couple of members on that board that would like to see an increased role. I would just, forgive me, but I would encourage us to be very tactful with this because there's some really, really strong emotions on there. And I'm with you. You know,
regarding the Wellness Center?
Yeah. What purpose do you have if you're not supporting health and wellness?
Well, that's all we're asking, Bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Who says we're not tactful?
Okay. It's important to know that the community is appreciated. The support they have given because it's been considerable over the years.
It has
100,000 a year on top of 230,000, and I think the skimmers and the others have an opportunity this meeting to come and express their appreciation.
If there were a few silver sneakers showing up, that could be good.
It'd be a great way to show the support of the community.
We wouldn't have near the facility or opportunity we have out there without their partnership to this group.
Right. And they would not have a board if we didn't pay those taxes.
I'm with you.
They get a bigger stipend than we do.
And they'll get paid me.
They'll get paid
to me with us. We don't get anything.
Yeah.
I believe you finished.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we'll go into closed session.
Hey, I just want to say something, and then maybe this is more of an email. I will, because it's a request for future items. I know that we have, like, things that we have to approve and things like that, but July 9th, I'm not going to be here, so just want to make note of that.
Okay.
But I think the budget will probably be considered next meeting.
Yeah.
So.
July 9th is the one we'll have the neighborhoods come in to talk about assessment.
You'll miss that one.
Good one. Well,
you want a video conference?
Sure. If I have reception, why not?
You know, something else I would really like to have a meeting with the chief and maybe tour the facility and see what else. I don't know how old that facility is and if they have cameras everywhere or not.
Not enough.
Well, they should.
I know. We're together on that.
Well, there are cameras inside the police department.
The first item of business over there is to fix their roof. We have some water issues there,
that's what I want to know. I want to know everything that they need. Yeah,
and I just want to add to you. Last year, the year before, maybe I did a ride along, and it was very interesting. So we had a chance to go, and I did it in the evening.
Scary.
So
that
was fun.
Yeah. Do it between midnight.
Yeah, in the front, not in the back. I'm so tired. No, I've done ride alongs before. Yeah.
Okay. With that, we're going to go into closed session. If I can talk.
thank everybody for being here tonight, but we will now go into closed session conference with legal counsel, anticipate litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to paragraph 2 or 3 of subdivision D of that section. One.
There you go.
Middle on her arms.
All right. So we are coming out of closed session with nothing to report.
No, you'll have some.
Oh, we will have something?
Yes.
Okay.
So
we basically have to say.
Yeah, it's on me.
Okay.
After discussion, it was moved and seconded and approved to accept the settlement with respect to the California Department of Transportation Independent Office of Audits and Investigations of July 2014, as referenced in the May 20, 2019 letter.
Thank you. All right. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? Anyone want to?